This is Brock.
This is John.
And of course, integration in the general context is different than what it means in the business world.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, I know while we're recording this, we have an upcoming webcast of things that are strange about the securities laws. Only securities lawyers use the term, the loaded term in America, integration, in this particular context. So it's a very strange term to be used in the securities laws. But it's a concept that arose out of the SEC's concerns about efforts to evade the registration requirements of the Securities Act by trying to slice and dice a single offering that wouldn't qualify for an exemption into multiple offerings that would technically be able to be crammed into different boxes.
And then there's even this other M&A integration that we'll cover on another podcast about integrating the two businesses of a target and an acquirer.
Yes, that's right.
But now we're talking about the securities law one. So how does the SEC staff look at whether offerings should be integrated?
Well, that's a position that's been evolving in recent years. Traditionally, the SEC has looked at five factors in evaluating whether particular offerings should be integrated, and anybody who's worked with Reg D is familiar with those. I mean, were they the two offerings part of a single plan of financing? Did they involve the same class of security? Were they made at or about the same time? Was the same type of consideration payable in both deals, and were they made for the same general purpose? And this is still the test you look at if you're trying to figure out whether two Reg D offerings should be integrated. But in many other situations, such as in concurrent public and private offerings, the SEC focuses kind of on how people came to the deal. You know, whether advertising and solicitation in one offering was improperly conditioning the market for the other offering. And that's really where their focus has been. They've also adopted integration safe harbors that in a lot of cases permit the use of different exemptions, like a Reg A offering followed by a Reg D offering for concurrent offerings without the risks that those two offerings might be deemed to be a single offering. So it's an evolving position, and it's one where the SEC, I think, has become much more flexible over the past 5 to 10 years than had been the case in the past.
And how can due diligence help avoid integration issues down the road?
Yeah, it's really kind of the whole ball game when you think about it. I mean, what you've got to do is take a look around and see, you know, what has the issuer done in terms of its financing activities during the period before the deal that you're involved in. You know, if you do that, you can get a sense for whether there's anything to integrate. Look at the marketing documents. Look at if they've brought in additional investors. If they haven't done a deal, if they haven't been able to get a deal closed, how'd they market it, who'd they go to, how'd they solicit investors. You know, you can march through the various safe harbors and see if anything are available or if you have a potential issue. But due diligence at the front end is really critical.
And what is the lawyer's role in identifying integration issues?
It's on us. We're the front line. This is one of those things that only a lawyer could love. You need to scope it out in the planning stage of the transaction because no business person is going to focus on something as technical as this issue can get. So it is definitely a lawyer's issue.
And can problematic integration issues trigger a rep or warranty breach?
Yes, they sure can. Various reps could be implicated. Yeah, compliance with laws, potentially, absence of contingent liabilities, depending on how the rep is written. You may even have, as to the valid issuance of securities. Remember, if you've messed up integration, you've blown your exemption, and you're staring at a violation of Section 5 of the Securities Act. And that means that everybody involved in those offerings has a put right, which is a big deal. And as you march through any kind of a purchase agreement, you can identify a half dozen reps of warranties that might have issues under them in a situation like that.
Good stuff. Thanks.
You're welcome.